disagree. Cause when the madman flicks a switch, see the point, cause there's so much food here today that no one wants to take away.
The 171st episode of The Sane Asylum. I'm your host, Giuseppe. I hope everything is going well in your life. And if you're in the USA, hope you're enjoying the extended Labor Day weekend. It's always nice to not have to set that alarm for early Monday morning. My friend, your friend, John Friend, once again has real-world responsibilities. And he will be back in 2 weeks as co-host. And once again, an incredible thank you and shout out to the brilliant Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird 9, for co-hosting for 1 year. In fact, it was 1 year again to the day today that the Scorpion and the Frog abruptly quit. And Dave Gahari and I did the show during his slot to point out the truth, which it's hilarious. How people, so many people in the modern world, especially in chat rooms and what have you, have it all figured out when they're hit in the face with the 2x4 named truth, but that's not enough. They have to cook up their own nonsense. So it's very interesting to see how that all played out. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. We'll do a bunch of clips and discuss some of the insane current events that are currently going on. And it is really crazy. I guess the first thing that I would be curious to get people's thoughts on when you call in is this whole Nazi protest in Florida. I mean, I know a lot of those guys personally, John Menadio, Michael the Truth Weaver. He was actually supposed to be a guest tonight with Dave Gahari, but he went instead to work in the real world. But some of those people were over the top, extreme, to say the least. And so I guess my question to all the callers later on when you chime in is that an effective strategy, or is it just provocating the woke libtards and the Hebrew rectum lickers to be more entrenched in their synagogue of Satan – Stockholm syndrome. So I don't know. I mean, on the other hand, I get these young dudes are disillusioned. They've never known, like me. I just turned 64. I remember what a great country the United States was as a child growing up in the 60s, and then as a young man, teenager, and then young adult in the 70s, and even the 80s and the 90s weren't so bad. It was just when Israel and the Rothschilds attacked the United States with that amazing blood sacrifice of 9/11, that everything really began to change. And my God, the last since social media took over, it's just been an unbelievable shit show in this country. And so maybe is that what it takes to be so disillusioned that you're just literally you don't care anymore, and you're just going to be as bold and provocative as you can? I don't know. I don't have an answer. So maybe some of you can share that. Is that an effective strategy, or is it not? And so I guess I look forward to hearing what you think. But I guess let's start out producer Sam, can we go with clip number 16? You know, everybody wonders, how did the white tribes, you know, the Germans, the Polish, the Irish, the Italians, the English, the French, all come over here and all get so dumbed down when we, you know, even when I was a little boy in the 60s, total high trust society, white dominated. 70s, still pretty high trust society. 80s, started to slip. But how is it that the boomer generation, Generation Jones, the Gen X and all, how is it that they let this get away? And even before that, the generation before the boomers, the so-called greatest generation. Well, I'll tell you what, listen to this clip. Many of you know this, but this is a very, very effective, succinct distillation, lucidly points out who is behind the dumbing down of the white tribe. So here we go.
When they're selling water fluoridation, they didn't just walk out and say it's good for you. They actually hired Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, to sell Americans on how good it was to have silica fluoride in the water.
Edward Bernays was the one that created how to control the population through media and through advertising.
Edward Bernays, also known as the father of spin, pioneered the idea of crowd psychology. In 1928, he wrote a book called Propaganda, in which he wrote, "If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it?" He called it the engineering of consent. Bernays introduced the corporate giants to crowd psychology methods and polished techniques to manipulate society. He convinced the population to buy on impulse things they didn't even need. In his writings, he concluded that individuals were controlled by four basic motivations: self-preservation, aggression, security, and sex. Bernays' belief was that by appealing to any of these four motives, it was possible to manipulate the majority of a population into doing almost anything. You could brainwash them into smoking cigarettes, starting war, electing politicians, you name it. And given the proven effectiveness of these techniques, it was no coincidence that the Aluminum Company of America asked Bernays to head the campaign for the fluoridation of the United States water supply.
People like Bernays, you know, were masters of social engineering. His entire thesis, if you will, is that you don't talk to the public in a rational, scientific way. Instead, you appeal to their emotions and you invoke their fears. He was key in getting women to start smoking. He positioned cigarettes as being sexy and individualistic and, you know, power to the woman. That was the framing of why women should start smoking.
A consumerist culture was born, and the United States government took notice. U.S. agencies soon adopted Bernays' techniques of manipulation to manufacture the fear of ever-present danger in the minds of the people, to give those in power greater control of what Bernays called the mass mind. He went on to propose in his book Propaganda, "Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of." This statement holds just as true today as it did in the 20s when Bernays first wrote it. Throughout medical science, including dentistry, poison-producing corporations have always been able to infiltrate major institutions and dominate their narrative.
When Christopher Bryson was writing this book, The Fluoride Deception, he reached out to Edward Bernays. Bernays said it was child's play to convince the American public that fluoride was good for them.
While the official narrative rang, the case for fluoride had been proven. Some people weren't so quick to jump on the fluoridation bandwagon.
Because fluoride had been used for years as a rat poison, to kill coyotes, to kill cockroaches. Some of those opposing fluoridation were in fact dentists. And because of their advocacy for safe water, they were censored by the American Dental Association. If they worked for the Public Health Service, they got fired. If they were team players and kept their mouth shut, they got to keep their job. So out of fear, many people who knew better remained silent.
The true story behind water fluoridation can be hard to swallow. The facelift performed on fluoride dating back more than 60 years ago has misled generations. Instead of conjuring up the image of a crippled worker or a poisoned forest, we see smiling children. As a new generation arises, we must sound the alarm yet again. To those who have ears to hear, this film is meant to be a warning. This film will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that fluoride is a deadly poison being added to our water supply. It will further prove that the chemical commonly known as fluoride is the only chemical added to public drinking water to treat you, the individual, rather than the water. The information presented in this film can change your life. It can help protect your health.
Okay, Sam, I think that's enough. Get to the point that in addition to the massive psyops, and by the way, that generation, Sigmund Freud, daughter Anna, nephew Edward Bernays, are the vilest of vile kikes. I mean, totally soulless. I mean, if you look into their individual deviancy and degeneracy, it's unbelievable that psychiatry is even a thing based on the nonsense that these degenerates and these Satanists have come up with. I mean, just unbelievable to me that anybody takes anything serious that came out of any of the Freud or Bernays' mouth, and yet, my God, it's treated like its own little another fake religion from the synagogue of Satan. So that's disgusting. But that there we go. You know, not only is it fluoride that's dumbing down the white normies, you now have glyphosate destroying the gut biome, the frankenfoods, high fructose corn syrup, the partially hydrogenated oils, and all that, you know, gets in the brain and affects function. And then you've got the ridiculous quaxination schedule that has, you know, this is probably preaching to the choir in most instances, but before the 60s or the 50s, you know, you might have 1 in 100,000 case of autism, right? Just basically didn't exist. And now at present with the bubonic jujab poisoning schedule, we're at about 1 in 25, and there's estimates by 2030, 2040, it'll be 1 in 2. How ironic to have 1 in 2 individuals in this country be a walking zombie just in time to, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. So what a disgusting state of affairs it is. And people, citizens, you just need to wake up. You know, you literally need to wake up. And it's counting down to where if something drastic isn't done, and the greatest weapon we all possess is the numbers, right? Look at what was done to Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light. Bud Light's never coming back, and that's a good thing. And so that's the power that the great silent majority can wield when they've had enough. And so getting back to the this protest in Florida, this over-the-top protest, you know, there was one guy there who was supposed to be the guest tonight. Sam, if you could cue up clip 15. Michael the Truth Machine Weaver engaged the Jew media and really schooled these commie propagandists, these haughty pretend journalists at the Florida protest. So listen to Michael the Truth Machine basically boiling it down for these fake journalists what's going on.
And one thing, you're against white supremacy, but then the Biden administration is 80% Jewish, and you don't say anything about Jewish supremacy. That rules America, or the Jewish-controlled media, or the Jews for open borders, or the Jews pushing LGBTQ and brainwashing their kids. You don't say anything about that, or CRT, that's anti-white propaganda aimed at white children. You say nothing about that.
So what do you want to do? You're not going to forcibly eject people. You're not going to kill people.
If Jewish people can have an ethnostate, white people deserve an ethnostate. Simple as that.
And where do you want the Jews to go?
Anywhere but away from us. Basically.
Do you want them in America, or do you want them to leave?
They need to go to Israel and leave us alone.
And what about
white America? This is white America before the Hartzeller Act in 1965. America was 90% white. And after the Hartzeller Act, Now we're about 57% white and shrinking because the Jews have opened up our borders, allowed all these non-whites to flood white, our white country and stuff, and we're sick of it. This is our country. The founding fathers were white. The naturalization said for free white man, okay? This is our country. We're not going anywhere. If anyone needs to pack up, it's everyone who's not white needs to pack up and get the fuck out.
And are you going to help them with that?
No comment.
No comment. Anyway, Michael Weaver is a man on a mission, and he's, you know, he's self-taught, and he gets it, and he wasn't over the top there. Some of the others were, and I'm curious to hear people's thoughts on what was really going on. In fact, I mean, one of the Synagogue of Satan parasites, Laura Loomer, supposedly is breaking this news that the dude with all the tattoos on his face was actually CIA, and he went over to fight for the Azov group and all that. I don't know. I mean, I don't trust Laura Loomer as far as I can throw her, so I have no idea. I guess if there's independent verification of that, maybe. But for now, it just seems like a big convoluted mess, other than those dudes are just brilliant at gaining lots of free media time. I mean, you know, that's – what was it P.T. Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? So the paper goys continue to do it. So, Sam, if we could cue up clip number 14 now. You know, one of the biggest things that's really, really interesting this past week has been on Twitter. I guess it was called Twitter. Now it's called X. I don't get that, other than Elon Musk is essentially trying to use half of the Freemason X in his logo. So he's such a subtle guy, just like his mom, who every time she's in the public with him is constantly flashing satanic and Illuminati signs. But yeah, he's really independent. And so anyway, this is really interesting. This was before when Tucker Carlson was still on Fox, and he was starting to realize it's time to take on the, if ever there was an organization that should be banned, it's hashtag ban the ADL. I mean, they literally champion a vile kike named Leo Frank, who molested, beat, raped, and murdered a little 14-year-old girl named Mary Fagan. And then all the Jews, the parasites in Georgia, you know, had a ton of money and bought him off. And the funny thing is he was still found guilty by a jury that possessed at least two, if not three, Jews, you know, clearly considered the lesser brethren. But they found him guilty, and then he was going to get off, right? So there is such a thing called justice. And in this case, the justice of the citizens in Georgia, Marietta, Georgia, I think it was, busted him out of jail and hung him. And I love looking at that picture because, you know, there's something in the Jew media, Hollywood media. If you've watched a movie the last 25 years, they're so lazy. It's part of a mind control op, I think, something to do with their Kabbalist beliefs. But there's something called parallelism, right? And you probably don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is because, you know, my first degree, joint degree, was journalism and then mass communication. I had several film classes on how to write a script and everything. And parallelism is when you have the two main characters, possibly typically either allies or protagonists, and early in the movie you'll get one guy to do something, and then he'll turn to the protagonist and say, I bet you didn't see that coming. And typically it's the villain who does it first. And then near the end, like the second end of the second act, or maybe in the beginning of the third act, then all this stuff has a formula, right? All Hollywood movies, three acts and blah, blah, blah. So then end of the second act or beginning of the third act, you'll get it's reversed and the hero does something and it's a feel good moment for all the people who are watching the movie and championing the hero. And he'll turn and say, I bet you didn't see that coming. That's parallelism. They're so lazy. It's in every flipping movie of the last 25 years. Sometimes they do it like 3-4 times, and I roll my eyes because it's such lazy writing. It's such pandering. But so there you go. There's the parallelism. And so wouldn't it be great if you know, eventually the blacks of Georgia, who have just been used by the ADL for decades, if they are realized it, and they, you know, a lot of those blacks are low impulse, heavily armed. If they were to hang Jonathan Greenblatt, and what phenomenal, delicious parallelism that would be. So I urge our black brothers in Georgia, if you realize that this is the guy who's destroyed your family for generations, maybe it's time for justice for Greenblatt, which would be swinging from a tree. But this is pretty good. This is Tucker Carlson was revealing what the ADL is really about. This could probably be one of the reasons he got booted off of Fox, but check this clip out.
A former bottled water salesman called Jonathan Greenblatt. Greenblatt runs the Anti-Defamation League, whose century-old reputation he leverages for moral authority and cash. This year alone, Greenblatt has effectively extorted $500,000 from the Brooklyn Nets and another seven figures from the shoe company Adidas. Send me money or I'll call you names. Okay. But Greenblatt also takes money to attack other people. If you've got an enemy, there's a good chance that with a big enough check, you can pay Jonathan Greenblatt to denounce that person on television. And we're pretty sure something like that has happened to us. Here's Jonathan Greenblatt claiming that this show, probably the most pro-faith hour on mainstream television, wants to shut down religious schools and places of worship. It's pretty funny, but here he is pretending to mean it. Watch.
6 years from now, if someone said to me, anti-Semitic incidents will have tripled again. Synagogues will be shut down. Jewish day schools will be closed because of the threats. Jews will have left in large numbers. Tucker Carlson will be the nominee for the GOP. And
sounds good
we'll
to me,
say, Shlomo. We need to get all the globalists out of... there'll be no globalists in my administration. That shouldn't sound so crazy.
Yeah. Oh, shut down the worship places. It's tempting to laugh at a clown like that, but media companies still take Jonathan Greenblatt seriously enough to let him guide their censorship. Why? Josh Hammer is the opinion editor of Newsweek, host of The Josh Hammer Show. He joins us tonight. Josh, why? I mean, this guy...
Okay, Sam, that's enough. That's the point, was just to get to what a subhuman parasite Greenblatt is. And, you know, hashtag ban the ADL. It's got traction. I think it's gotten several hundred thousand retweets or comments, and they're a little nervous there in Georgia where they're based, and hopefully they'll get a lot more nervous. But you know, it's like you know, compared to the little victories like that, compared to a century of the massive Synagogue of Satan conquest of this country, and one of my favorite phrases, it's a Russian proverb, is six words: fish swim, birds fly, Jews lie. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number number 12. This is a classic example. I mean, this is exactly what is so disgusting about the Talmudic Jew and their unbelievable arrogance, their hubris, their psychopathy. They really think that they're the persecuted victims. And listen, I've seen this guy before. I believe he's a child molesting rabbi. Gee, what a shock. And he does these videos where he comes off as a smarmy know-it-all and acts like he knows better and we should just listen to what he has to say. But check this out. And the other thing I want to point out is how both Tucker Carlson and this fellow, retired Colonel McGregor, are so nervous and they tap dance and they don't name the Jew. They should have out and out just come out and said who they're talking about. But check this clip out.
As Tucker Carlson's mask slipped, he just interviewed Douglas McGregor, a retired U.S. colonel, about the war in Ukraine. Let's watch the part of the interview where it takes a sinister turn. Pay attention to the subtle but dangerous undertones of his comments.
How would you characterize Zelensky?
He was picked and then blessed by Victoria Nuland and the State Department as their man. Now, when he originally ran for office, he ran on a peace platform. Ukrainians didn't want to go to war with Russia. Of course, once he was in there, he took a different road. And I can't help but think that that road was defined for him by us.
Notice how he doesn't hold Russia or Ukraine responsible for the war, but he actually holds America responsible. Actually, it's not just America. It's a specific group of Americans.
Who is Victoria Nuland?
Oh, goodness gracious. All these hard questions. I do not know Victoria Nuland personally. I know Fred Kittigan and his brother Bob is married to her. And she's a long-term committed neocon.
At this point, it's important to note that everyone he's named is Jewish. He actually goes on to name more
it is
Jews,
important to
like
note
in
that.
This clip.
No, I don't think she understands the gravity of the situation. These are the same people. Tony Blinken is in this.
So after naming all of these people, it's now time to present his completely irrational conspiracy theory.
These are
no,
people
Jew,
with this agenda.
It's truth.
And the agenda says until the entire world is garrisoned by U.S. forces and is converted forcibly to some form of democracy that we approve of, the world will not be safe and we must continue to fight. And I think in the case of Russia, Russia has special appeal because I think these people have ancestors who came from that region of the world and have a permanent axe to grind with the Russians, which of course I don't. I don't think most Americans do, and nor do I think anybody in government should shape policy based on whatever unhappiness their ancestors, you know, experienced in a place like Russia.
And the mask is off. He's clearly asserting that Jews control American foreign policy.
But which they do.
Even worse. When Tucker asked why Democratic and Republican donors both support the war, he uses this as an opportunity to reinforce this anti-Semitic trope.
Well, first
it's
of
not
all,
a trope, it's a
you've got to go
Jew.
Through and identify the donors. What's their background? Where did they come from? And why do they feel the way they do? I think there are more personal issues here than we realize with many of them.
To think that this war is being waged because a handful of Ashkenazi Jews have a 100-year-old grudge against Russia.
Which is exactly what is going on.
Particularly as Ukraine was just as anti-Semitic back then. Now, to understand how truly incoherent this theory is, listen to how he describes the Ukrainian troops.
Atrocity we call the Azov Regiment that runs around with the swastikas and Nazi gear and so forth.
So he wants you to think that a group of Ashkenazi Jews control America and they use
which they
control
do.
To fund a battalion of Nazis in a country that historically persecuted Jews as an act of vengeance against another country that persecuted Jews?
Sure, Dan.
Jewish perfidy. Okay, Sam, that's enough. So this vile kike is a perfidious liar and wants to have you believe that, oh, nothing that we've done the last century, dating back to the Federal Reserve, dating back to the traitorous crypto-Jew Rockefeller, Roosevelt, getting elected on staying out of the war and then serving his Jewish banking masters and his Jewish handlers. We could go down year by year, decade by decade, up till present. The facts are indisputable, and yet these perfidious Jews, oh, it's a trope, it's a stereotype, and there'll be plenty more after these messages. Stay tuned to the Sane Asylum on RBN and Speak Free Radio.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I've been selling my soul, working all day. Overtime hours so cocks can chew my pay. Sitting out here and have my wealth taxed away. Watching the school turn my kids gay. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me who name the Jew. Wish normies would wake up and see that it's true. With the Yids, with the Yids, living in the Jew world. With the golden soul, 'cause the Jew men in Jerusalem, Lord knows they already have total control. They tell you what to think, they pray over your food, they show your kids porn, 'cause it's the way of the Jew. 'Cause the culture ain't shit, and it's subverted to no end, 'cause the Jew man in Jerusalem.
All right, welcome back to the first hour of the Sane Asylum worldwide simulcast on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook. Can't believe I'm still on Facebook after all this time, live. Odyssey and Rumble, and then put up the shows on Goyim TV and Brighteon. And actually, my website's just about ready to come back. That's pretty good news. And I'm going to put a second one up. So I'll stay tuned for that. Other update, it was just heartbreaking to learn that on my birthday, August 23rd, the traitorous German fake government was about to kick in Alfred Schaefer's door. He'd been freed for quite a few months, and luckily his wife saw it and opened the door, so they didn't do more damage, and they came and arrested him. And it's been heartbreaking that they've been bouncing him around, and nobody knew where he was. But then Monica Schaefer, who is going to be on my Friday show, The Perfect Triangle, September 15th, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, live, just posted this update. For an entire week, not even Alfred's wife knew where he was. She had done her digging, believe me, but nobody could tell her where her husband was. Now we know. from a letter he sent out to her, he's been moved twice already. They initially brought him to Landsberg, then transferred him after a couple days to Stadelheim prison, and then he was moved after a few more days to Bernau prison, which is where he stays for the duration of the six-month sentence. And it's absurd that Alfred was literally just creating the equivalent of a Roman salute by pointing out how high his dog can jump. And, I wish the German people would snap out of their entrancement by the synagogue of Satan and revolt and take their country back and be the first in a series of nationalist dominoes to fall. That would be – I wish I would see that in my lifetime. But, you know, you should send a postcard to Alfred. I'm going to. Alfred Schaefer – and this address is at Monica's website, freespeechmonica.com. It's also by Jim Rizzoli, and I'll put it up later as well. It's Baumannster, Baumannster, period, 81-83233, Bernau, Germany. So, and, you know, one of the things you want to do is don't send a letter. Just do a quick postcard, and that lets the authorities know that you know they're going to read it, and they just give it a quick scan, and it'll get to Alfred. And the one thing we know about time is as you get older, it passes quickly. So before you know it, Alfred will be out, but he doesn't deserve to even be in there. It's just so offensive in so many ways. But that is the world we live in with this synagogue of Satan infestation. All right, so let's see. Oh. The other crazy news that came out this week is, Tucker Carlson, I don't know what his game is, but he used to stay away from all the real news of the day, you know, to protect his standing. And now he came out this week and observed on his Twitter show that, the faggot Barack Obama, have you ever seen that guy run when he used to show videos of him playing basketball? What a fag. And so it came out that, Rents covered it. Everybody in the real indie media covered it in 08 when Larry Sinclair was having a homosexual affair in 2008 with Barack Obama, smoking crack and doing all kinds of sodomite degeneracy. So that's Barack Obama. He's a homo. He's a faggot. And with that thing he's married to is certainly not a woman, that's for sure. And if you ever want to have an eye-opening experience, go look on Twitter or one of the indie sites and look at the personal physician and his wife that are the real parents of those two kids. I mean, they totally physically resemble the good friends who are always around. I mean, there's nothing but deception with these satanic communists, these parasites. It's unbelievable. All right, but yet that is the world in which we live. You know what? This is probably a good time to. The more I remember when Dr. William Luther Pierce was alive, I would listen to and order some of his cassettes and listen and read his books, and just an amazing guy. And people are starting to edit down his clips and put them up on Telegram and other sites, you know, into like 7 to 10 minute. Just little nuggets. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number 13, this is more true. I mean, Dr. Pierce has been dead for quite a while, but this is more true than ever as in this clip, Dr. Pierce castigates the middle-class cowards who have allowed this country to become a third world shithole controlled by Jews.
If there's any group of people in America who deserve to suffer, it's the white middle class. It's the people who have been warned for decades about where this country is headed, but who were too short-sighted, too timid, and above all, too greedy, too selfish to do anything about it. During the 1960s, when blacks were rioting and burning our cities, middle-class whites refused to take a strong stand against them because that would disrupt the country even more and would be bad for business. Instead, they tried to appease the blacks with all sorts of new civil rights laws and other government programs. They tried to buy them off. The whites just wanted to continue indulging themselves. They didn't want to do anything that might require a bit of austerity in return for the long-term improvement of the country. In the 1970s, when the real push was on to racially integrate the country through forced busing and forced housing and forced employment laws, and many white working class people were demonstrating in the streets against this forced racial integration, the comfortable middle class, which was not being as adversely affected as the blue-collar class, refused to become involved. The white lawyers and doctors and accountants and professors and engineers and small businessmen just looked the other way and kept on stuffing their faces. Their kids weren't being bussed to black schools. Their employment wasn't being threatened by affirmative action. They certainly weren't going to jeopardize their own comfort and security and respectability just because of what was happening to working class white kids and working class white parents. Of course, many middle class whites were concerned about the degenerative trends which were all too obvious in America during the 1960s and 1970s. They just weren't concerned enough to do anything. Their solution was just to vote Republican and keep making as much money as possible so that they could insulate themselves and their own immediate families from what was happening around them, and to hell with everyone else. And so we had the Reagan era, and the white middle class thought that their strategy of compromise and appeasement and selfishness had worked. Well, of course, it hadn't worked. Such strategies never work in the long run. People who will not fight eventually will be eaten by people who will fight. A community whose members are so self-centered that they will work only for their own personal benefit and not for the common good eventually will be destroyed by its enemies. And our enemies have been at work day and night. They opened our borders to the subhumanity of the third world and began building up their numbers. They encouraged feminism and began reducing our numbers by persuading our women that careers were more important than families. They infiltrated and took over our educational establishment and taught our children that they should be ashamed of their own race, that their own history and traditions weren't worth learning about. And the children of the white middle class learned instead that doing drugs and putting safety pins through their noses and wearing baseball caps backward and listening to black rappers is cool. And the daughters of the white middle class began bedding down with blacks and becoming pregnant with mongrel babies. And their parents didn't like it, but they tolerated it as long as they could hang on to their money and their comfort and their lifestyle. And eventually, the enemies of our people were strong enough to launch the Clinton era. But the members of the white middle class were still comfortable, and so they tolerated the Clinton era too, with all of its treason and degeneracy.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
They tolerated the total Judaization of their government. They tolerated the Clinton government's bombing of Belgrade to force Serbia into line with the New World Order. They didn't like it, but they tolerated it. And so now the fruits of all that toleration are almost ready to be harvested. And it's about time. It's about time for the white middle class to have to deal with the problem of 30 million blacks who believe they are entitled to reparations and who very shortly will be clamoring for $100,000 from every white family. They believe they're entitled to at least $5 trillion in reparations from us because we tolerated the Jewish media pumping expectations of that sort into them during the past 50 years. We tolerated all of the Hollywood films and the television propaganda telling them about how they were persecuted and mistreated by us for 400 years and that they really are equal to us, and the only thing which has kept them from achieving what we have achieved is white racism. We knew it wasn't true. We knew it was Jewish lies. But we tolerated that propaganda rather than risk being called racists for contradicting it, or anti-Semites for pointing out who the liars were. We also proved to 30 million blacks that we're a bunch of wimps who won't fight for our people or for our own rights. They believe that the white man owes them $5 trillion and that he doesn't have the guts or the gumption to stop them from taking it. It'll be an interesting fight. And you know what? I'll be cheering for the folks demanding reparations. I think it's about time for the soft, white middle class to begin facing reality and to experience a bit of trauma and privation. Perhaps it'll help a few of them learn how to survive in the jungle from which they have been too far removed for too long.
Wow. Dr. Pierce, one of the great ones. All right, the other crazy thing that's going on this week is, two crazy things. Number one, that the mask mandate is supposedly returning. Now, remember, a mandate is just urging, nudging you. You don't have to do it, and don't do it. I mean, there's countless studies now, even before the first scamdemic, that masks are worthless. They're bad for your health. They're even bad for especially little kids and all that. But yet here we go again, the globalist parasite-controlled government trying to ramp it up. I think it's going to fail miserably. But Sam, if you could cue up clip number one, this is pretty good. The Canadian podcaster, very clever a young woman, what's-her-face, really shreds the mask lunacy.
Oh, my apologies. Mandates are about to be reinstated, so I was wearing my mask to get ahead of the curve. I love my mask, especially in an election year, because it's a simple yet effective way to display my allegiance to the regime. Am I concerned that an analysis of top scientific studies was conducted this year and concluded that mask mandates did nothing to stop the spread of COVID-19? Nope. Am I concerned that mandatory masks once led to mandatory vaccines, which led to an epidemic of heart conditions in the otherwise young and healthy? No. Am I concerned that COVID stimulus checks and manufactured supply shortages have created a steep loss in purchasing power, making it next to impossible to afford basic necessities? Not even a little bit. Am I concerned that this state of hyperinflation will eventually lead to the perceived need for a government-backed universal basic income that will enslave us to the state in inconceivable ways? Not until it affects me directly. And why am I not concerned, you ask? I'm not concerned because I decided a long time ago that sticking to a bad course of action is much easier than admitting I was wrong. Because in order to admit I was wrong, I have to admit the right was right. And I don't like losing face to or for anything. Unless it's my mask. I've decided it's much easier to pretend my mask protects me from a viral illness when deep down I know it only protects me from one thing. Personal accountability. I prefer to float through life blaming all of the world's woes on fascism, racism, or white supremacy so that I never have to face the true enemy. Want to talk about who it is? Comment below with your opinion. Don't forget to include a source.
Okay, I prefer to denounce the backup. Once again, she points out how absurd, absolutely absurd, wearing masks. It's just a form of entrainment and enslavement for the weak-minded woke children of the middle-class cowards who Dr. Pierce was referring to. The other getting stranger and stranger is this whole nonsense in Lahaina, and especially exposing what an incredible hypocrite the She Boon Oprah Winfrey is. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number four, a savvy citizen journalist just tears apart the hypocrite, the phony, the child trafficker, child abuser, no doubt, child sacrificial participant, the She Boon Oprah Winfrey, just a talentless clown propped up by the synagogue of Satan. So this is good. Listen to this.
We were so concerned about what was happening in Maui.
We're so concerned about what's happening in Maui that you somehow managed to hire a private firefighting team to protect your land before the fire started. You're so concerned about what's happening in Maui that instead of taking some of that land and housing even a small portion of those displaced people, you've hired a private security team to keep them off your land. You're so concerned about Maui that you simply haven't had time to denounce any of the shady real estate deals which are robbing people of everything they have. You know, like the ones you were involved in that helped you acquire that land for pennies on the dollar of what it was actually worth. You're so concerned about Maui that instead of taking what would amount to a year's salary for you and four or five of your billionaire friends, which could be used to rebuild the entire place in a matter of months, you're jumping on social media and asking the American public, most of whom can't afford to pay their rent right now, to do it for you. You're so concerned about Maui that it's more important that you get social media points than that you help.
We were so concerned about what was happening.
Okay, that's shorter than I thought. I mean, that's awesome. What a fraud. And then what's up with painting all those the roofs of the elite, propped up parasites blue? And I saw a video, very interesting, that lasers would burn red, would burn yellow, but would not burn blue. These invisible, you can't see the wavelength lasers. And then there's something else that went on there as far as microwaving things too. I mean, the great coming up, I don't know if he's doing a show tonight or not. I know he wasn't feeling well last week when I listened to his show, so hopefully he'll do a show, but it's not clear. But he covered it magnificently about something weird went on with Lahaina, multiple types of energy weapons, not just one, you know, classic thing, but some of it was microwaves, some of it was lasers. It's crazy what they're doing. You know, they keep pushing the envelope. Hopefully the great silent majority wakes up at some point. And speaking of the silent majority, this is great. Sam, clip number 6, another Shiboon that is just punching way above her weight class is this corrupt Soros marionette, Fannie Willis, who somehow got into, I don't know, I mean, affirmative action law school for sure. I mean, this thing is just a, you know, 80 IQ clown. And so she's a lawyer, and now she's been elected to prosecute. You know, I'm no fan of the Donald. I think he's the Zionist wing of the sick, malignant bird. There's two wings of the Jew, satanic Jew, the Zionist wing and the Bolshevik communist wing. And Trump is the puppet of the Zionist wing, the bankers. I mean, 100%. And so, but check this out. This woman is beginning, typical normie is beginning to connect the dots about why the synagogue of Satan and their minions, their satanic minions, so want to prevent Donald Trump from coming back and being, well, he won the last election, hands down. So I guess winning a third term, I don't know what we'd call it, but listen to this.
So if you followed me for a while, you know that I never stick up for Trump. I'm an independent and I see things on both sides and I see the positive and negative. Here's the deal though. When you are spending so much money, time, and energy on trying to take somebody down, it makes me want to look at things differently. Trump is no longer the president, yet this current administration, pretty much majority of the time, blames everything on Trump, even though they've been the current administration for 2 years. The fact that they're spending so much, again, time, money, and energy on trying to take him down, I'm starting to feel like maybe everything that he said was true. Like, I remember when he was first president, if you follow me, you know this, I was devastated, right? And he was saying things like, fake news. And I was like, what a douchebag, right? And he's talking about how much evil there was and how the MSN, the mainstream media, and the liberals and Democrats were hiding from us and were actually doing some very sketchy, illegal, awful things. And I kept thinking, my God, he's lost his mind. But now, when the left, the media, the liberals, the Democrats are trying so hard to take him down and silence him, I'm like, maybe he wasn't batshit crazy. Maybe he does have information and knowledge about things that they're doing, and that's why they're spending so much time, energy, and money on trying to take him down and silence him. Pretty much silence everybody who doesn't agree and toe the line. It makes me, and I hope a lot of other people, open their minds and their eyes and see what truly might be going on. I mean, at least pause, take a step back and think, could I be wrong? Could everything I've been told be wrong? And I think if you take some time and delve and do some research that's not just given to you, like go and delve in and get more information from more than one resource, your eyes are going to be opened. Now I'm awake, not woke. It's uncomfortable to see the things, and I get it, right? It might feel better not to know these things and believe these things, but it's dangerous if you don't see them and if you don't speak about them. By the time you do see them, it's going to be too late to speak about them and to fight back. Part of your logic.
That's a good observation. Agree. I'm glad to see that typical middle class normies are starting to wake up. And Sam, we got time for one more clip before we start taking calls. Clip number 7. This is a very interesting. More and more black conservatives are coming out on YouTube and other social media channels, and this is a savvy black American questioning why the commie globalists, Bolshevik traitors, formerly known as the Democratic Party, believe that they have the right to speak for black Americans. This is good.
I'm curious to know who gave the Democratic Party the authority to speak for black America, for African Americans? Who gave the liberal Democratic Party the right to speak as though they are our voice to the public? Just because you put a black face up there, like Joy Reid, trust me, she's a millionaire. She does not have our best interests at heart. But for everyone who wants to question everything that I have to say, question this. Dr. Claude Anderson on The Breakfast Club said in the future that they're going to allow immigration to happen to displace African Americans in America when it comes to voting rights. Yeah, and it happened. And guess what else? Funny thing has it is, as soon as the Biden administration got into power, they started rolling back all the things that Donald Trump did for African Americans. And guess what else? They're not concerned about your vote. The good thing is that African Americans have finally woke up. The problem is the Democratic Party will no longer be catering to you because they have just allowed their voters to walk over the southern border. Now they're going to concentrate on getting them elect, you know, getting them some voter rights. Then it's going to be, oh, suppression. Because black people, you're not even on their agenda anymore. They don't even care. And honestly, it would be nice for African-American women to say, hey, how is it that we're only about 6.5-7% of the population, but we were able to vote Joe Biden in the White House? You didn't. But Joe Biden did thank you. But people don't investigate. Even if they were 13%, still not enough to vote Joe Biden in the White House. But then they gave you credit. But that's the thing. You have these African-American DAs. You know, what is it? Oh, you put, so you can't say it's racist. It's racist. But let me say this. Did you see Donald Trump's mugshot? Gangster.
Right, that's it. That's the hour one, hour two, with the new co-host, the weekly co-host, you the caller, takes over. So stay tuned after these messages for hour two with calls are open. Call lines are open.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.